The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in the studio by a number one best-selling author and award-winning playwright, and these accolades sit lightly on his shoulders. His name is Michael Harding, and he has a brand new book out entitled Midwinter, A Journey Through a Season. And it's, a meditation. It's almost, a poem, the whole thing. Michael, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's lovely to be with you. And thank you for saying it's a poem, because I started off, you know, as 16 years of age, David Marcus used to publish my poetry. I always saw myself as a poet. So maybe the full circle is that I would come back. I'm now in my 70s and I am trying to write. I am working at the haikus and the Chinese and all that tradition of Asian.
But even without putting it in a poetic form, the language is poetic throughout this book.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's like meditation is like a poem.
Now, would you like to just give us a sample, if you can think of one? I will, while you're looking for one, I will read some of my favourite little pieces from the book, because my donkey stands in the field like a sodden philosopher in the wet jaws of this Irish winter, rain dripping from his ears like tears he's too stubborn to shed, because even the animals in the fields must surrender to the rain. The sky is a bruised fist hammering down on the earth, and the field is a muck-soaked rug surrounded by rushes, and the damp seeps into my bones as I try to comfort my little donkey. His coat is a patchwork of grey and brown, plastered flat by the downpour, each hair a tiny riverbed. But he doesn't flinch. His lovely big eyes fix on me as if to say, "What's going on? What's happening to me?" His ancestors died in the trenches, and he probably remembers them, or so I fancy. His stillness has a dignity, a quiet defiance against the gale's howl and the cold that makes me run for shelter. Sheer genius. Sheer genius, absolutely.
You're too kind. Yeah.
The book itself, as I say, it's a meditation, and it's something we always dread winter, but your invitation is to enjoy winter.
Yeah. I've gone through my own dark patches about 10 years ago. And those were times I dreaded winter. And I've often heard my mother, when she was old, before she died, say, "Oh, I dread the long nights," right? And I felt that at a certain point, rather than dread it, I needed to embrace it. Because I think that winter, with the dying of leaves, the dying of trees, the rotting trees, the dying even of the grass, and then foxes die, badgers die. Loads of animals are all hit by cars in the middle of the night in winter. And it's like, and human beings die, people die. And the whole thing becomes a kind of a pool of anxiety for your own mortality. And I think that's why people dread winter. And I think that to approach it and to look at how beautiful and blessed and natural is everything that dies, everything that's perishable in the autumn and the winter, it's still very beautiful. If you just look at it, pay attention to it, Marilyn Robinson, the American writer, would say, just pay attention.
But your mother dreading the long nights, the long evenings drawing in. Nowadays, with the goggle box in the corner, it kind of sheds a little light, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. And you go for, you're always renewing your Netflix and stuff, like when it comes to October. But I think at the same time, maybe the uneasy parts sometimes are I find afternoons, even still, I find them a little bit depressing or melancholic, because there's less light in the sky and it feels like somebody's kind of gradually turning off the lights, even in daytime. And that saps your energy. And I think that for me, I turned 70. I had done a lot of memoirs. I thought, I'm kind of finished now. I'm going to write poetry for the rest of my life, and that's over. And this was a very Asian thing to do. You know, when the monk philosopher was old, he just stopped all career life and then wrote poetry. So I thought, that's what I'll do. And somebody said, "Well, why don't you write something about winter?" So I said, "Okay, I'll have a go at it."
I was listening to a conversation about the difference between Ukrainian and Russian, the language, you know, how people... The word for October in Russian is something like Oktobra.
Right,
or whatever, something. In Ukrainian, the word is yellow.
Okay, autumn, because everything goes beautifully yellow.
And I want to read this passage from your book. "While someone else might associate autumn with leaves turning gold and drifting silently on a pretty pool, it was a different story in the countryside. Not even leaves survived. Only rugged bent branches of Salian willow along the shoreline of the lake or the bank of the river survived. And November announces itself not with sweet singing schoolchildren gathered at some harvest festival of apples and tipsy cake, but with the bleak, ferocious floods in Loch Allen coursing through the lochs, down the winding streams and canals, and building to a fearsome peak near Carrick and Shannon, threatening to inundate car parks and breach the thresholds of homes and business on Main Street. Observing the water levels climbing in winter is a sombre watch.
It sure is. And I think in Leitrim, anywhere along the Shannon, already you'll find right from Leitrim down to Limerick, people, farmers, are already watching.
And I'm looking at wet fields as
yeah,
I pass.
Yeah, because like there's a turbulence in winter that you get in the countryside. The little streams of summer become these massive rivers roaring at you. In Donegal, it's the same. In Donegal, because there's kind of no limestone much. It's more a kind of a very hard rock. So the water is nowhere to go when it comes down Errigal or comes down the mountains. Yeah. And so you get these flash floods that are extraordinary, and roads fill up. And you feel the sense of almost winter's rage, you know. And that too, I think, can leave you vulnerable. Because when I was 40, I was perfect. I was a warrior. I could stay up all night and, you know, drink a bottle of wine at 4 o'clock in the morning when the dawn was coming up. But now I'm 72 and it's like I'm taking me tablets and I'm watching me rest. Do you know what I mean? And be blood pressure and all that sort of stuff. And I think that your fragility is something that, again, you can be uneasy about, or you can embrace and realise that this part of ageing life is full of wisdom, because you see more the impermanence of the world around you.
It's funny, someone said to me recently about a dinner party of older people.
Yeah.
And I said that the first 20 minutes of the dinner party is what we call the organ recital. What's wrong with this organ? What's wrong with that organ?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it's like, the waiting room and the doctors.
Yeah.
But of course, it is the cycle of life. So you watch the summer. And the summer, also in your book, there's a reflection on summer. It's not, you know, golden sands and blue skies all the time.
Yeah.
The Irish summer can be a different creature.
It can be a different creature, yeah.
And then it morphs into the golden early weeks of autumn.
Yeah.
And then the bleak midwinter.
It begins to rage. I think it begins to rage in November. And I think that we still all wish for winter snow. There's something...
Cleansing.
Yeah, it's as if the snow was a landscape in the heart. It was an internal landscape. And when we watch the ads for Christmas on telly, it's like we know that place, as if it was our homeland. But actually it's a homeland inside, because the snow comes after the storms and the rage. And you get the sense of stillness when the ground is completely white and the whole world is covered and there's no cars, so there's no noise.
And when men were all asleep, the snow came flying
in
large white flakes falling on a city brown.
You're a poet, sir.
I just remember it from school. It's amazing what sticks in your
head.
Isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Settling and loosely lying, hushing the latest traffic of the drowsy town. Yeah. Anyway, that's from memory. I don't know whether that's accurate or not. But the sense of ultimately we get to renewal, don't we? We get to the spring and
this is the key.
The snow drops.
The key to the book for me, and the book is like, it's the story of me meditating. It's a journey through a season. So it's not like, I'm not telling people about anything. I'm not trying to be wise.
But there is a character now. We're,
I'll come to him. Yeah. But basically what I'm simply doing is kind of sharing how I pay attention to the world in winter, with the possibility that other people reading it will say, oh, I must do that more myself. Now, the two things I pay attention to. One is that winter is about death and dying. It's about leaves and trees and birds and little insects and all sorts of lovely things. But it's also about human death. And so I put the story of a human death, a tragedy, a young boy who dies by his own hand. And it's a fiction at the centre of the book. But it's a fiction which is like a composite of many experiences I've had as I was growing up, of seeing friends who took their life. Or maybe in older age, it is a friend whose child falls into that terrible pit of despair. And so I wanted to put that at the centre of the book, to say that this is really to contemplate death, to contemplate winter as death. And yet, at the heart of it, and this is the second thing, there is always spring. That we go through this period of darkness, we go through suffering in life, we go through physical ailment in life. Always we endure because we have this faith that somewhere there's light in the darkness. And that in itself is an image, it's a poetic image. You can't put it any more rationally, except to say that in your darkest hour, you're still hoping that there will be light, that dawn will come after the darkest night. And that's the integral balance between winter and joy and hope that comes with daffodils.
I often think about how do people in California live? They've got effectively the same climate all the year round.
Yeah.
Or in the Canaries. No distinctive seasons, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't have...
You know, I so agree with that. I spent a good few months one time in Florida, believe it or not, as a pastor, right? And that was an interesting experience.
Say it was.
Yeah, it was interesting. But... the one thing that got me was 6 o'clock in the evening. The light went as if somebody turned it off and it was darkness. And that was the same every day, summer or winter. And exactly as you're saying, I came home to Ireland at that stage realizing we live in this magnificent country and who cares that it's raining? It's beautiful rain. But the subtlety of the evening closing in at 10 o'clock or 10:30 in June, yeah. And you're up, as they say, with a bottle of wine. There's only once now. I was at a bottle of wine at 4 o'clock in the morning, a summer's day. But then it suddenly changes, and every month is different until you get to this intense darkness on the 22nd of December.
Now, you live in the countryside still, I presume.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I was thinking the other day, I was driving along in the car, and it was stair rods coming out of the sky. It was lashing rain.
Yeah.
And I just thought, am I lucky now? I'm in a car.
Yeah,
I can go from A to B completely immune to anything that nature is throwing at me.
Yeah.
And I contemplated if I was going down the same Boreen a century ago, it would be in a Rattleo car or maybe in a coach and four.
Yeah.
And I would be acutely aware of the season I was living in.
Yeah.
I can go from day to day without really being that acutely aware that this is late autumn, early winter.
Yeah, I think we're so privileged. You know, I go to Donegal. I go to Braniffast to learn Irish and to write, to be away from everything. And when I'm driving up and down, again, the drama of the sea and the drama of the sky in this time of year is just, it's just like a term, it's a cauldron. It's like you feel you're in a cosmic cauldron. And yet you have this beautiful bubble of a car that keeps you warm, comfortable, and you can listen to Spotify. It's crazy, you know?
But that's that disconnect maybe for many people that they never actually observe the true rolling out of the seasons.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the more you have electric light, you miss some of the subtlety. And I think that it's really beautiful. I do it. We have electric light. But still, if I don't turn on the light and it's 4 o'clock, let's say, even these evenings, now, I'm taking a particular view here, which is only mine, but I might take a Christian icon and put a little nightlight in front of it. And you don't notice it because it's bright. And then an hour later, an hour and a half later, there's a very subtle twilight has come. And now the flickering little candle is throwing a light all over through the shadows. And it's like, what do you call him, Caravaggio?
Yeah.
You know, Caravaggio's paintings are completely black. Like black ink is what he painted, is what he used. And yet he kept saying to people, I paint the light. Which he does by painting the darkness. And I think it's by paying attention to winter, that you experience the light in the heart. I really think that.
Well, this book is, as Michael puts it himself, a meditation. It is a book to be absolutely savoured. I don't think you sit down and read it in one sitting. I think that would be to spoil yourself too much. So take it easy and enjoy
every
word of it.
Pat, there are beautiful illustrations. Ina Farrell, an artist, made a genius work out of it by putting in these really, really beautiful images. So I'm praising the book, not me, when I say that.
Of foxes and cats and the devil and all. It's beautiful illustrations. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. The book is called Midwinter, A Journey Through a Season, and it's absolutely brilliant. Well, now...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.